Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You both look great.
Oh, well, thank you.
God.
You know, I think also if you got a filter on your camera or something, because when I use my Mac, because we're on SJ's computer, when I use mine at home, I always look like a tomato. I have like a bright red face. I look ropey all the time. But this is like, there's like a glowy, soft pinky hue going on.
I think it just picks up on my glow
and it's rubbing off on you. I got the S.
I was going to say to you, you look lovely, and have you still got the filming makeup on you?
No, because we weren't filming today. We were rehearsing today, and sure, I was in the sea at the 40 foot, so there's no makeup to add.
But you look as though you're well done.
Oh no, I do have makeup on now. Oh, okay. Oh, no, I put makeup on now, because you should have seen me after I came back with the 40 foot. My body went into shock and I had like a purple face on me. I'm prone to the flushing anyway. Maya was purple and shaking all over. So I was like, I think I'll just put on a bit of foundation now. Is that a bit crackly?
It's a bit crackly.
So listen, was that your first swim in the Irish Sea this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I dipped my toes in. We were in Greystones Beach last week and I put the toes in and went, oh, that's pretty fresh now. That's pretty cold.
It's and really hard.
It's really hard. Going, right? But like before getting in today, there was a gale. We were standing in our togs in a gale. I was being blown around the place, lashings of rain.
It's wild.
I was just like, this is pretty wild now. But also, do you know, you get caught up in the drama of like, oh, we're gonna be shooting, and there's the ambulance people, and there's your buddy who's, you know, in their wetsuits, and they're introducing themselves, kind of going, you know, this is the signs. If you're in trouble, you do this. And it's all like, okay, now everybody's getting in. You're gonna go down the steps, and we're like, okay, oh, we're getting in, then we're in. I can't breathe, and it's really cold. And your buddy's going, are you okay? Thumbs up, are you okay? And you're going, yeah, I think I'm okay, okay. And everybody's kind of, you know, being quite dramatic. And then you look over your shoulder, and there's just people having a swim, just normally having a swim, because that's actually all you're doing. It's just happening.
Because that's what they do every day. And they're thinking,
they do every day.
What is with these actors and their buddies and their crew?
Exactly. We just looked pathetic.
Now, listen, also just to cut in and explain to the listeners, Eva was swimming for a telly job. Okay, yeah. That's all.
Yeah.
We haven't said that.
Yeah. I am also like, I'm not great in cold water. I don't come from a family of, let's all get in, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
You're a bit of a pussy.
I'm a bit of a pussy.
And you're like most people. I mean, most people aren't able.
And it got quite choppy today as well. There was a swell. This is all new lingo to me. There's a swell that actually got quite big and everything. We all had to get out eventually because it was too much.
But caused by the weather.
caused by the weather, exactly. But
my actual buddy, Linda, goes swimming in the sea with my other friend Shiva, and they go pretty much every week. And she was showing me her big jacka. It's called a J-A-K-K-A. It's these big, huge dry robes.
Yeah.
Have one?
We've had our dry robes like for the last 4 weeks when we haven't been in the sea. Okay, because it's sort of part
keep
of our
warm.
Costume. As our keep
they're
worms.
The new keep worms. Yeah.
Yeah, they're the new keep worms. And also they are, our characters have them as well. But do they have them today?
No.
No. I was in the sea purple. I was purple and literally, like, I was shaking so much.
That is too funny.
The last time I shook like this was after giving birth to my daughter. You know when your body starts convulsing and you can't get a hold of the shakes? That's how I was. Like, I was just, Jenny handed me a towel that was like the size of a hand towel. I was going, are you kidding me?
Wow, what went wrong there?
I don't know what went wrong there. Somebody wasn't them, didn't have that.
And did all five of you have no dry ropes?
I didn't have the dry ropes.
Oh, wow, that's a shocker.
So what I did have, which went down very well, was a bottle of brandy.
Ah, did you bring the
brandy? Ah, it was you that had the brandy. I knew it. I knew it.
You're thinking Batman.
I'll be better for instant heat.
You're great. Did you bring the little paper cups and everything?
No, in fact, we're coming to think it was very COVID unfriendly.
Did you drink from the bottle?
Let's look from the bottle.
Swigging from the neck, double vaxxed and all.
We're all doing this.
Out in the open air. The only thing that can happen now is that the weather can improve for you by next week because it's particularly bad.
Yeah.
It's autumnal at the moment. It's the most autumnal August I can remember.
It's shocking.
Really, it's just beyond.
I know it is beyond, but at the same time, there's something about it that I am loving.
Are you?
You're loving it, darling, because you've just come from New Mexico.
You've come from the streets.
You haven't been here all summer, although we did have a lovely heat wave, but it's because you're coming from lovely times.
What I love about it, but it's just, it is such Irish weather.
It's such Irish weather.
It's such Irish, it's like four seasons in 1 hour.
Yeah.
And it's all people talk about, you know.
The UK crew, which most of our crew are, literally can't every day. I can't believe it. It's like December now. It's like four seasons in one day.
It's true.
It's playing havoc with our continuity.
I mean, if we're going to start talking about the weather, I just want to tell you, I won't stop. I love like my favorite thing. I do weather. Me and Dee, my friend Dee, get on the phone and we talk weather for a good 10 minutes before we get into anything else. Yeah, what's it like there? What's it like there?
But she only lives up the road.
But it could be different up there.
It could be different up the road.
Oh, it could be different up the road. Yeah. Yeah. Totally different. My mother's an hour down the road. Totally different.
Funny. That was when I arrived in Galway once. I'd been living in London and got to Galway, got off the train and got into a taxi that was going to take me to the apartment, and the weather was gorgeous and the sun was shining and I was just in flying form, couldn't believe it's just gorgeous. Got into the taxi. I said, oh my God, I said, I'm back. I haven't been here in a couple of years. I'm so happy. And the weather, oh my God, it's lovely, isn't it? It's been like this since lunchtime. It was 3:30.
Oh, that's very good.
But it's so Irish. It's just the response, everything about it just makes you think, oh, it's good to be back. You know,
you're back. You're here now.
No, I live here now.
You live here now.
Yeah.
So I'll explain properly, relate to the listeners, because we haven't really introduced this properly.
Just to say that
you've landed. You've moved, Ireland. You've did it. Like as in a couple of days ago.
3 days ago. Yeah. And we're here now. And just to explain to the listeners, this
We've never explained to the listeners as much in our lives, just to say.
Eva and I are sitting beside each other.
Yes, of course we need to.
In the same room. Yeah. Looking at her. I'm touching her.
And I'm jealous. Even though I'm quite enjoying their two heads being together. And it's less, it's actually less work waiting for one screen and then the other screen. We are both there. Can't wait. I'm desperate for the three of us to be in the one room, though. That has to be next, surely.
It will.
On the Galway weather, you reminded me that one of my very first jobs was in Galway working for Druid Red. And I rang my father to tell him that I'd gotten a job, and of course he was ecstatic that I'd gotten a job. You know, any to get anyone off the payroll, you know, I'm one of five, to get any child off the payroll is a big big deal. And he was like, a job? You got a job? Somebody's going to pay you to do something, to do the acting, is it? Oh my God, this was like a miracle. And I said, yeah, it's fabulous, great company, and they're called Druid and they're down in Galway. And the big pause, and he said, Galway? Oh Jesus, you can't live in Galway. I said, what? Excuse me, still waiting for the congratulations. Oh, the rain in Galway. Jesus love, you couldn't live in it. You could visit now, but you couldn't live in it. And he did not visit me for the 2 years I lived in Galway. He said to me, first of all, he said, I can't drive to Galway, love. The sun is in your eyes the whole way to Galway.
Terrible excuse.
Shocking, sun setting in the west and all. It is true, the sun is in your eyes the whole way to Galway. And what's very funny about that generation is they never would occur to them to buy a pair of sunglasses. Just
not at all.
He never owned a pair. My father never owned a pair of sunglasses. I never saw him in a pair ever. He didn't even buy sunglasses back then. Well, and sure, the sun, as you say, it might only be out till 3:30. It wouldn't be out for the whole day. Or certainly wouldn't be out for a week. So that would be a terrible investment. Buying a pair of sunglasses. Like, who are you kidding? They must have been quite rare, expensive things. Did you see your parents much in sunglasses?
My dad had tinted glasses.
Prescription, but
he says himself, I'm blind in one eye and I can't see in the other. So
he didn't need them.
So he really didn't need them at all. But he would wear a cap.
For the glare. Oh. Anyway, to go back to my dad and the rain, he wasn't wrong. I remember being so shocked that it rained every day.
And he was right.
The 2 years that I lived in Galway. He was right. And I used to have great pity for the women because they were desperately glamorous and all they could do was put a rain mac over. Wouldn't matter what stylish coat they bought or what stylish outfit, they had to have a big rain mac over everything because the hair was frizzed, the outfit was soaked. It was tragic. It was tragic. Well, now we're going to lose all the Galway people. We love Galway.
I love Galway.
And let's be clear, if it's crack you're after, go to Galway.
I had two
of the best years of my life living there. I had pure crack from morning till night.
Now, listen, I can't talk about the rain. I grew up in Kerry. I mean, that comes at you. It's rainy, but it comes at you from all angles because of the wild Atlantic winds.
Oh, yeah.
As the woman on the train said to me, oh, it's a rain that would wet you.
Coming at you like it did something against.
She's not wrong. She's not. It's a different
kind of
rain.
I know, but you know what though? It's so. I can see why people obsess about the weather so much. I walked from Dundrum Shopping Centre back to where we're staying, and past a church, and there was a wedding, and they were coming out of the church, and they were all
blown asunder.
The hair and the little hats, and some of them were standing behind cars, and they had the hoods up so that they could hide themselves from the thing. And the bride was standing there, and her veil was going mad, and her hair was going mad. And but the rain stayed off, you know. And isn't it funny how that's a bonus?
Yeah.
But the wind and everything, you think. You know,
and it's August. That's what you're getting. So there's no, that was why I had a winter wedding. I couldn't be dealing with what you might or might not.
Me too.
Couldn't have that over me.
Yeah.
I find the worst thing is the lack of planning. Like, you can't say, let's have a barbecue on Sunday. You just can't.
No, you can't.
You cannot plan as far as 2 days ahead. You could look at the phone and go, maybe we chance it tomorrow. But not really.
That's true.
Anyway, I think we'll have to abandon the weather now.
We've covered it now.
Tell me this, SJ, are you jet lagged?
No, not jet lagged at all. I just keep saying, I live here now.
And how did that feel?
It felt really good.
Did it?
Yeah, it feels really good. Because you think about it and you're prepping and planning, but you're not really planning. You're just doing one trip at a time, going to the States and seeing our family. Lads, the summers are just...
They're epic.
We had a table of 12 every night for almost 3 weeks. And you know that it is full on when my 7-year-old, who is, as you know, very social and loves a gathering, turned to me 2 nights before we left and he said, you know what I'd love before we leave Taos is if we can just have dinner at home, just the 7 of us.
The 7 of us.
Just the 7 of us. We broke Lewis. And if you can break Lewis, then you know that's how You're full done. On the summer was. Now, it was great. And really, you know, we just had so many different members of our family visiting from different parts of the world because we were in New Mexico. So they came from California and they came from Mexico. They came from, we were living with his sister and brother-in-law and my mother-in-law. And Court was there and Heather and Liberty. And so it was just like a gathering of people and it was brilliant.
But it's hard work.
But absolutely. I mean, the amazing thing is that not all families can live with each other for 3 weeks straight and hosting dinner. Exactly. Most can't. And we really lived very well together. Yeah. Like, that's a testament to his mother and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and their son. Like, we, the 7 of us, lived very well together. And the house was incredible. It was big, and so we all had spaces to be. And
yeah, and was this the house that Ellie's mother, she rented a house, a nice did. Big house for you all? Yeah, that was beautiful. That was house. An inspired idea.
An amazing idea, because her feeling was that she hadn't seen us in a year and a half is a long time for a grandmother not to see the, and so many grandparents have had the same experience because of COVID, and Ellie hadn't seen his sister for 2.5 years, so it was really like a gathering together. It was great.
Well, in normal circumstances, you know, have we not lived through the last year and a half that we have, coming out of what we were slowly coming out of,
yeah,
having had such a long period of being much more solitary, you get out of the habit of a lot of those social interactions, don't you?
Do.
What you normally do or did, you suddenly, yeah, you're kind of rusty, aren't
yeah,
you? And it takes a while to get back into that swing. It's not easy. And it's not that you don't want to be around all those people that you love. It's just, it feels weird.
Yeah.
And you sort of got used to having a bit of that time, yeah, that quiet time,
yeah, sure,
and it goes in a different way.
And I think some people deal with it much easier than others, and it has become a thing, you know, where people talk about social anxiety going, yeah, back into the norm. You know, lots of people, we wouldn't know because we don't work in an office, but you know, a lot of people being nervous about going back to the office, to go from nothing to everything,
yeah,
is
extreme. Well, we got a holiday and there were 7 of us on the second week of the holiday. So for the first week, it was just us as a family, just the 4 of us. And actually, it was a little bit longer than a week, not maybe 9 days, including the traveling. And then my friends came, Dee and Stephen, their child, and also my goddaughter, Tony, and her partner. So we were 7 for the second week, and we were 5 living in the house and 7 out for dinner every night. And it was perfect. But like that, we had just had enough of each other, the 4 of us. I sort of planned it like that we'd have a week to have quality time, just the 4 of us, knowing full well we'd be well sick of each other by the end of that week, and that we'd be dying for the company, yeah, which we, yeah, were when they landed. We were, oh Jesus, people, thanks be to God, company, we're sick of each other. And it was really perfect. Now I feel awful guilty because I know so many people didn't get away, but listen, we did, we got lucky. And I just have to say, getting off this island after the 2 years was one of the most exciting things that's ever happened to me. Like, it wouldn't have mattered where I went. I was high as a kite for about 4 days. I was just going, look at that. Look at this. Look at that. Blue skies. Look at the sea, warm. I couldn't believe it. It was like and it was interesting because when I was looking at Dan, who was, is 12, it meant that he hadn't been away for 2 years. And I really noticed, looking at him, how much his world had shrunk during COVID, because he hadn't swam for 2 years. Now, I probably hadn't either, but for him at that age, at 10, the 2 years is like 7 years or something. Yes, it's just a much, much bigger gap. He'd forgotten what an airplane was like. His world had become football, school, home, and that was it. PlayStation, obviously, that's just in there, but that was it had shrunk, and the first time that he got into the pool, he lay back in it and his eyes rolled in his head. I swear to God, he was like, oh my god. He just couldn't believe the bliss of it. And then we were sitting in a hotel, there was a bit of a pool, we were looking out on a pool, and he said, I feel quite rich. That's just because he hasn't been in a place like where there's a pool attached to the house.
Incredible.
So there you go. That just shows you the impact. Of what we've all been.
But also, what's lovely about that is the appreciation. It's okay, of course, people go away on holidays every year, but it's kind of a newfound appreciation for these things that just become,
well, yeah, like hugging, being able to hug
hugging.
Again, just like, oh my god, I didn't realize how important it was. I love hugging. We can do this.
Absolutely.
And the excitement that we're all getting and just giving each other a cuddle is just lovely, isn't it?
It's absolutely phenomenal.
As simple as that.
It does.
It's fabulous.
Well, anyway, you're here, love, and you have found a home by all accounts.
Found a home, thanks to the very, very brilliant Liz O'Kane. I'm definitely giving her a mention. She's
give her a mention. She'd be delighted with the mention. Oh. Bit of nepotism. We're going to do a bit of nepotism today because I have another thing I want to talk about. But anyway,
okay.
Liz O'Kane, yeah.
Liz O'Kane.
Yeah. You're not her sister, so you can give her the high praise.
Oh, I'd give her the high praise. Anyone's looking to buy a house. We're not buying a house. We're renting a house, but she is a buyer's agent and she is remarkable. And she stepped in to help us because she knew that we were looking for places. And she stepped in and helped us find an apartment so quickly and just dealt with real estate agents for us. She's just extraordinary at what she does. And she's so passionate about what she does. And I can't recommend her enough.
She
is phenomenal. She found me this house and got it all, made it all happen. I wouldn't be here without her.
Yeah.
LizOKane.ie is her website.
LizOKane.ie.
Wants to look up. But if you're buying or renting, she does both. But she is actually
absolutely
phenomenal.
And so we arrived on Wednesday and we viewed a place yesterday that she had reserved for us because she just sensed it was the right place for us, and we are moving in next week.
Amazing.
I mean, like, it's
seamless.
So,
that's just like,
so seamless. Like, we're so lucky.
I'm very excited because it's so close to
so
me.
Close
you're,
to you. Oh,
like a seven, you're like an 8 minute walk, are
is
you?
That all is that all?
No, it's a bit longer.
Ah, God. 12.
I love you. I love how you like to, you know, just make everything just better or bigger.
I said to Esther, that's a 5 minute walk to the new school. And she, of course, she had Google mapped it. She said, well, it's a 17 minute walk to the school. You know, yeah, pipe down, Mrs. Exaggeration. Yeah.
I know, but you see, you do it. It comes from such a good place. It's just always out of goodness and the enthusiasm for life to be better.
That's why you don't do what Liz does, though. Otherwise, you'd have a lot of very disappointed or angry clients. It's like, you told me it was 5 minutes away.
5:15. What's the difference?
Come on.
It's better for you to do more walking.
Yeah.
Anyway, so on the subject of nepotism, I wanted to talk about the book that I read on my holiday, which is by none other than Eliam Cryam, called Desert Trilogy. Oh my God. Okay, now, so I'll just declare that Eliam, better known as Ellie to us, is SJ's husband.
Yeah.
And he's written this book called Desert Trilogy, which blew my mind. It's a work of absolute brilliance. I know you've read it, Eva, haven't you?
No, I've only listened. I'm listening. So I'm listening to
you've done
SJ
the Audible.
Read. I'm on the Audible and I'm four chapters in. So I've only just started, really. And it's incredible.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
It really is. He's a genius.
Every line of it is absolutely brilliant. And it's epic in scale. It's phenomenal.
Ross finished it there recently and blown away as well. Like, it's pretty extraordinary.
What's so exciting to me is that, you know, because it had taken so long for him to get any sort of traction with agents and the traditional publishing route. And so, you know, he finished this some like years ago. And then while he was waiting to get traction from agents and publishers, he wrote his second book. And so once the second book was done, we just kind of went, his debut novel is sitting on a desktop. This is ridiculous. And it was like, I'm so happy that he decided to go down the self-publishing route, because it means now that people like yourselves who are saying, how can we read your book, can read his book. And also, it's like, I don't have this little secret anymore, or big secret. I want people to understand just how brilliant this, and it's not just I'm so proud of him and his talent, but it's the book itself. It takes you on such a journey, you know, and I'm so happy that it's out there and people are finally getting to read it.
Well, let's also talk about the Audible, which you record, SJ. And I mean, I haven't done the Audible yet, but Steve has, and he has not stopped raving. How many character voices?
It's extraordinary.
He could not believe the job that you did on the Audible, which I'm going to do next. I mean, I've read the book and I'm going to do the Audible next, because that's how much I enjoyed it.
Do you know what's amazing about it? It is incredible, because it's because you obviously have to do so many characters. And like I say, I'm only a few chapters in, but it's the subtle changes you make for each person. You said they're not extremes because you obviously have to do a lot. So it's this ability to do something so subtle that is absolutely enough that you know exactly who's talking in any given scene, which I just think is quite extraordinary for age-wise and sex. So if you're doing male, female, young to old, you're just doing these very, very subtle things that are, make a world of difference, and you're brought immediately into that world and environment. And it's, you're living it with those characters. I just think for one voice to do that so incredibly well in such a beautiful way, it's really quite,
it's
quite
a huge talent. Yes, yeah, it's a huge talent. Now, I know you've recorded lots of audiobooks, so you're obviously in the groove. You know how to do it.
But so lovely to hear. Thank you. But there are so many audiobook narrators out there that it is such a, it's such a craft. Mm. And when Ellie asked if I would be the narrator for his book, I felt an awful lot of pressure in a way, but not pressure, just responsibility, because I'd read it so many times. And so I was so fully invested in the book itself that I wanted him to be certain that he had the right narrator for it, because I just loved the book so much that I wanted to do it justice. But then he made a change in the first section, which meant that I myself felt like that is actually a decision that makes me feel comfortable as a female narrator to be able to bring listeners in. But I think the key to any audiobook narrator, and there's so many people, you know, brilliant narrators out there, is it's all in the writing. And for me, because I love the book so much, and I was so familiar with all the characters, that it makes the narration much easier. That I don't have to think. And his prose is so epic, and in many stages, there's like some sentences go on for a page, and so I just wanted to do it justice. Mm. And so
I'll tell you, I absolutely believe you and understand that, because the book is so exceptional, but I would have a fear as well. I've been handed that job, the responsibility of it. His writing is just exquisite. Just, and I'm not saying that because, you know, I know Ellie. It is absolutely, it stands on its own. And I know a lot of people have read it at this point.
But there just one thing, though, that I always need to point out to people who aren't familiar with Ellie's work, and why would they? This is his debut novel. That he is dyslexic, and so the fact that this book was written, you have to bear in mind that every single word he had to fight for every single word on that page, which meant that all those sentences were thought through.
But that's exactly what you get from when you read it. But that I remember saying, I think I said that thing. Exact line to Ross, just like each sentence has so much thought in it. It's to such beautiful, exquisite detail that he's spent with every word. He has searched for the right word, but you've given it such context there that's incredible.
And so every word has fought to make its place onto that page. That's the things that every single sentence, like sometimes he would spend a day really thinking about a sentence that he knows this is a really important, and it's all about the sentences to him.
That makes an awful lot of sense to me, because I admired every sentence as I read it. Sure. How rare it is. Every sentence is beautifully formed, but it's simple as well. It's not over-egged or anything. I actually watched, me and Steve have been watching a documentary about Hemingway, and it reminded me a little bit of him, because he, they always said he pared everything back and sort of wrote differently. And I felt a little bit like that reading Ellie's book. That was just incredible. What an achievement.
I mean, I'm so massive thrilled that you got the chance to read it.
Yeah. I also had the added bonus of reading it whilst in Greece.
I know.
Because, you know, it's like about there's a good bit about the gods, the Greek gods, and their influence on people's lives.
Yeah.
So there was one day I was reading it, actually looking at the Acropolis.
Amazing.
I hear this is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, amazing. It's such a great setting. He just wants to be going back to writing the next thing, but now he has to do this social media campaign, because when you self-publish, then it's all on you to start marketing the book and the whole thing. I'm sure he's not.
Well, we're starting here now. Tell everybody where they can buy it, will you?
Well,
probably the best place is Calle Pez Studios.
Yeah, you can go to Calle Pez Studios, which is CallePezStudios.com. Calle Pez Studios. It's called Desert Trilogy. You can either order the book or the audiobook, and it'll take you to the Amazon links, because Jeff Bezos needs an extra few pennies. You know, he's not doing great. So we said we'd give him a few of ours. He would support
him. Divorce has rocked him.
Very generous of him.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How was it when you left that house for the last time in London?
I sort of felt a bit emotional, because I sort of said goodbye to some neighbours, and that sort of made me feel a bit emotional.
Yeah.
But I wasn't too bad about the house. But the kids, for the first time, for whatever reason, well, because I was leaving, but they haven't done it before, were really upset when they were saying goodbye to me on the doorstep. So I had the two little ones waving and crying and saying, don't go. And that doesn't actually normally happen. And so that sort of, I think, made the whole thing
bigger.
Quite emotional, yeah. feel quite bigger.
So you were saying goodbye to them on your way to Ireland, but also saying goodbye to the house because you weren't going to go back there.
Yeah. Yes, right. Exactly. Okay. And then they came over and joined a week later. And Ross stayed for a week, and then he went back to London to move all our stuff into the new place. So that's what he's still there, unpacking like 1,000 boxes. But it's done now. He's in, and it'll be ready for us when we go back.
Well done, Ross.
Well done, Ross. Yeah. Big tick.
Well done, Ross.
Yeah. So he's had to move the cat and all that kind of stuff. The cat, the poor cat. We had a drama with the cat.
The poor cat has
chronic heart disease.
What?
Yeah, a week before the move. Well, a week before me leaving.
Yeah.
Poor cat, I found sort of immobile on his chair. And breathing like, he was having sort of an asthma attack. He was just sort of like really struggling for breath. And I was just, what is going on with him? But he's such a gorgeous cat. Every time you touch him, he'd purr. And that made the wheezing worse. And I didn't know what was going on. So I ended up having to rush him. I called the vet and they said, bring him in. If he's breathing like that, bring him in immediately. And they had to put him in an oxygen tank.
Oh, babe.
Poor thing.
Don't expect these things.
No, you don't. And that's why you don't take out pet insurance, because you don't expect them. And then they happen and you go, I should have taken out fucking pet insurance.
Yes. Oh, no, sweetheart. You've got to have pet insurance.
The oxygen tank costs a fortune.
What did it cost you?
Oh, the whole thing. The vet had said to me, lovely, lovely vet, who happened to specialise in heart disease in felines. So I was very lucky to have him. And he said, we'll obviously keep him in the oxygen tank for as long as he needs to, but you don't want him in that long because it's very, very expensive. So the whole thing with him staying in, he only stayed in 24 hours, because again, that's very expensive, keeping an animal in. The whole thing cost me about 600 quid.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And then there's medication.
Listen, you have to get the pet insurance. You have to get the pet insurance immediately.
I know.
I've learned this from friends who went, oh Jesus, I was just handed a bill for 600-700
quid. Oh Jesus, But you know what I really mean? For those 24 hours, I myself and Ross were beside ourselves with worry. You obviously know that you're really attached to your pet and they're part of the family. But until they get ill and you're faced, we thought he was going to die, we realize he's like such a part of the family. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I love that cat so much. So it was really 24 hours of being really quite distraught.
Sure.
And then he bounced back. But his lifespan has been shortened considerably. They reckon he's only probably got about 2 years, and he'll have another one of those episodes again, and he might not bounce back quite as quickly. So he's on medication every day now for the rest of his
What days. Is the cat called?
Chief.
This is Chief. Remember the Chief. Cat? The murderous
The murdering cat.
Well, the murderer. Chief is the murderer. Yeah.
His murdering days are over. You know. He's just
No, he won't be out catching anything now. Do you think it was the murdering that might have done in his heart?
It's like one murder too many.
Maybe he just had a bad mouth or something.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad he pulled through, love, because if anything had happened to that cat in the middle of a house move,
oh my God,
country move, job changing, that you wouldn't have been able. That would have been too much.
And how's your cat?
Because we went on holidays and left her for 2 weeks. Do you know the way they're never happy when you return? No, I didn't leave her on her own. My sister stayed in the house to look after the cat while we were gone. We came back, and as I said, there'd be a bit of revenge now to be had here. She'd be ignoring us and giving us a bit of attitude. She pissed in the Hoover. She pissed in the Hoover.
In the Hoover.
The smell.
Oh my
when
God.
When you turn,
when you turn
it is horrific. It's horrific. You're like going, the smell of cat pee coming out of the middle of the Hoover.
Oh, Jesus.
We've taken it apart, sprayed it down, left it out in the rain, put it back together. It still smells.
Oh, yeah.
That's the moral of the story. You better bring your cat on your holiday with you. That's the moral of the story. I was going to talk about travel journeys that have been particularly horrendous. hellish journeys. Any springing to mind?
Babe? Oh, yeah. 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 Mine usually with like traveling with young kids, it always numerous scenarios of shit. Literal shit.
actual shit.
That just involves actual human feces.
In your hand.
In my hand, down clothes, running to gates because there was touching cloth moments and you're in the fucking toilets washing underpants and sinks.
Yeah.
And then you're the last people on the flight and then the other one shits themselves on the flight. Yeah.
One thing I'd say in terms of feeling guilty about, you know, having a holiday and all of that, I wanted to say to people who have small children, just forget it. Just go to Kerry. Go just have a nice holiday. Just until they're bigger. It is just not worth it.
So fun.
You know, it's just not, when they're too small, like forget it. It's a world of work, isn't it?
It is also, it's a world of work. To get on the fucking plane. To get to the airport. And also what I've found since traveling, and we've done a fair bit of traveling now, considering these COVID-y times, you know, we took 3 flights to get to Dublin, like Albuquerque, Dallas, Philadelphia, Philadelphia, Dublin. And there was not a minute to spare getting one flight to connection to another.
Yeah, so if anybody had shot themselves, you would have missed your flight.
I'm telling you, you'd have been screwed. You'd have to take your shitty diaper and take your shit with you, and you wouldn't have made it on that plane.
No.
And also, people are out of practice. I've noticed everyone is just a little bit more on edge than normal, mm-hmm. and you throw 2 small children into the mix. Oh. It's just not
way too much stress. Really isn't. I made that mistake traveling when mine were too little.
And also, though, because
I wouldn't do it again.
No. Well, and Ross brought the kids over on his own this time around because I had to leave a week earlier. He's not a good flyer anyway. And he was flying from London to Derry. So they're very small. The propeller planes, they're small. They only seat 30 people. So, and you can't get 3 seats in a row. So the kids were 2 on one side, and then there's a walkway, and then he was on a seat in his own, which he initially kind of thought, actually, I'm sitting on my own, this is okay. Just kept literally throwing snacks at them, just across way, throwing snacks at them.
That's what you do.
Yeah. But because they couldn't remember being on a plane, especially Joni, but even Jesse couldn't actually really remember being on a plane because it's been a couple of years. Like, he kind of did, but not the experience of it. So on takeoff and landing, I'm going to move away from the mic because it'll be too loud. They were literally went in this tiny plane. And they weren't terrified. It was an exhilaration.
So
they were like,
It's like a roller coaster.
Just sweating because takeoff and landing for him are the worst times. So he's like crying.
And it's a big propeller as well.
He's trying to be the parent all calm.
And just, and he's like, shut up, just stop shouting, shut up. And they just thought it was hilarious screaming. They're on a roller coaster, the arms are up in the air. Everybody else is laughing. Ross is like literally, and what he normally does is he has a couple of beers to calm the nerves. Like he's really not a good father. Like he's no. bad. So he'd normally have a couple of beers.
Can he not acupuncture himself?
He does. Oh, he's needles all over himself and the patches and everything. Like he's just very bad. So they didn't, they had no service on the
thing,
flight.
It's a real thing, this fear of flying.
It's a real, real thing. And they had no service on the flight because a lot of the airlines aren't doing it.
Yeah, they're not.
No service. So
nothing. He had nothing. So he was just... in the horrors. He was
What is it? Has it always been that way?
He's never been great. And then he had one very bad flight to Thailand. So a long old flight, and they hit an electrical storm, and it was really hairy.
That's terrifying.
It was shaking and clashing noises against the plane. It dropped. It was proper. He thought he was dying. He absolutely thought this is.
Oh wow! Okay. And he's never recovered from it. PTSD essentially. Every time he gets on a plane. Yeah.
That's, but obviously, you have to try and keep it calm for the kids. Yeah. So constantly battling what's actually happening inside, just to try and keep the kids calm.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the kids are shitting themselves.
Like they're on a roller coaster.
Literally, arms in the air, waving them, going, "Yay, we're landing!"
So funny.
Well, my worst experience, now this was not a holiday. I was going to work to Vietnam, but Steve had gone out ahead of me by several months because we were making a film together. You remember it, called Noble, and Steve had written and was directing. So he went out like 2 months ahead of me, maybe more, 3 months, and while I single parented the 7 and 4-year-old. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For several months. And he was gone. And that nearly brought me to my knees, that alone, being the single parent the 2 months. Flitters. But anyway, so by the time it came to me leaving to do the flight, I worked out that we would be about 17 hours door to door, you know, leaving the house. I was counting the taxi to Heathrow, the whole thing, the couple of hours. And I thought, how the actual fuck am I going to do this? It was Dan, the 4-year-old, really. Now, that was really going to stretch me. Holly was better. She was 7 and just a bit more on it. But then again, there could be.
You never know.
You don't know which one is going to cause you the most pain. Anyway, I did loads of research and I did loads of Googling and I asked loads of people who were like seasoned long haul drivers what to do. And all of them said the same. Oh, listen, you'll be absolutely fine. Just arm yourself with loads for them to do, books and magazines, and the iPad is a godsend. The iPad is a godsend. That's what they kept saying to me, right? Okay, bear that in mind now. We get in the taxi. I've locked up the house. I've got the bags. We're in the taxi. I get a text from Steve. How's everything? How are the children? Yeah, fine. They're fine. What do you care? You're not here. You're not here. Doesn't matter.
So angry.
We're on our way. We're on our way. Stop asking questions. So we got, then the next text I get was, well, I have very good news. Because we have flown out about 50 cast and crew, I have enough air miles to upgrade you and the kids to business class, right? Business class, I was high as a kite. I nearly jumped through the text. I remember, thank you, God. All my prayers are answered. Oh, thank you. And it is absolutely extraordinary what hearing the words business class does to you. I swear to God. I got a new walk. I walked in like I owned it. Just might as well have had the word smug written across my head in a lipstick. Just walked into the airport, hello, straight up to the business class desk. There wasn't a person, a queue, nothing. Hello, how are you? Hello, how's yourself? How are you? Waving over there at the scangers in the economy line. Right? Anyway, Mrs. O'Kane, absolutely lovely. No problem. Straight through to the business class lounge. There will be food and free drink into the fabulous lounge. Everyone was locked. The kids were locked. I was locked. We were all locked. Loads of eating and drinking until we boarded the plane. It was Just everything was just going so smoothly. It was almost ridiculous because the kids were so thrilled with the lounge, the bits of food, and people were helping us. Oh, would you like anything? And we played, and then we got in gorgeous big seats.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely. And we're good on. And the first couple of hours were grand because I gave Dan the iPad, right? Now, then they said about halfway through, we're just going to lower the lights so that everybody can have a nice sleep for themselves and your lovely beds, your chairs can recline into lovely beds. And the lights went down and I said to Daniel before, I said, okay, Dan, I need to take the iPad now. The captain's saying everyone has to put their technology away. Everybody's going to sleep. And Dan, age 4, did this. No! And I thought, oh, Jesus Christ, what was that? And there was a few shh, shh. I saw those few heads and I thought, oh, God, okay, okay. That wasn't a good response. I said, right, okay. I'll better try my firm but fair mum voice. Daniel, the captain has said, we must put the technology away. Everybody else is going for a sleep and you have to sleep as well. No! He was clinging to the iPad like his life depended on it, right? He was playing a game called Temple Run. Have you ever heard of it? I'm going to do it for you now. This is Temple Run. I have my phone here, right? Running, 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 over bridges, round corners, running, 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 running. Okay? Like, so for a 4-year-old, really, really high stimulation.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like God. 20 minutes, half an hour, loads for his age group. And he'd now been on for like an hour and a half, let's say. So I was like, this has to stop. Like, this has to stop. But he was going, no! And screaming. And of course, the second time, I got quite a bit of, shh. One man opposite me locked eyes with me. He looked at me like this, like everything on his face said, I've paid $5,000 for this ticket. Please, I'm begging you not to fuck this up. Please. That was what his eyes said. His eyes were just full of fear and full of fear. Like, please get your fucking kid under control. So I thought, geez. Okay. I'll have to leave it for a few minutes and see, can I leave him for like 20 minutes? And I got up to go to the toilet. I thought I'll go to the toilet because I actually was thinking I need the loo, better do that as well before there's any more shh moving around. And wait till you hear this. As I got up, I knocked a tall, quite large glass of water that was sitting perfectly on my armrest. I knocked it to my left over my perfectly sleeping daughter, who wasn't making a sound. And she woke. I didn't think it was a tall glass of water. It saturated her. She woke up like this. The whole fucking business class was looking at me going, shh. And himself was just on the iPad now, quiet. So I was just like, fucking keep it. I see if I care. You herself was soaked from top to bottom. And I had a changing bag with me. You know the way you're organized? You've got to change clothes. Okay, I'm going, okay, love, sorry. It's okay, Dan, calm down. It's okay, it's just water. Going to madly rummaging to the, because her leggings, you know, little leggings on little girls.
No.
They were soaked like right through to her pants. Like her, everything was soaking wet, the t-shirt. Like they had to come off, you know, planes, they're quite cold.
Yeah.
So it was all wet. Like, so I'm in the bag. Did I have a change of clothes for her?
Oh, you didn't.
No.
No.
I didn't, because she's 7 and she never needs a change. Oh. Whereas the manky boy child who was 4 needs changing every 10 minutes. He's just manky. So I didn't have anything for her. And everything had to come off. And I found like a t-shirt to his, which was like squeezed onto her, and a tiny pair of 4-year-old wife fronts, because her leggings and her knickers had to come off, and the wife fronts went over her. And I kept thinking, oh my God, this is going to have to be the youngest case of thrombosis the world has ever known, because they were so tight. But I had to get her out of the wet clothes. I got her out of them, and I think I put her in a pair of his shorts. She looked fucking ridiculous. Or else she was just in the wife fronts. And then she said, I need to go to the toilet. And I wrapped her in a blanket because she was just in the knickers. And I wrapped her in a blanket and she went up through the cabin like Gandhi to the toilet, like wrapped in a blanket, right? And that was fine. She went and she came back. And then another half hour passed. And I thought, I was looking at the 4-year-old's head with the headphones and the iPad, thinking, his head is going to explode. Like, what's actually, like, what's going to happen to him? I mean, if I can't get the iPad off him, like, what damage is going to be done here? I kept thinking there could be an ambulance from Milan, like on the runway, to take him off to hospital, because I kept thinking his head would literally melt. I mean, you can't leave a four-year-old playing a game like that. We're now coming up for 2 hours he's on it, right?
Yeah.
Four. Anyway, I got Holly settled, got her changed and settled, and here's what happened. I thought that I was going to sleep for the second half of the flight. The second, I think I got all the hours wrong earlier, but they say it was 7 hours. I didn't sleep a wink on that business class flight. I'll say that again, business class flight, because my son played Temple Run for 7 hours straight. 7 hours. I couldn't get the iPad off. I couldn't get off. What could I do? He screamed every time I attempted to take it. It was horrific. It was the worst journey of my entire life. And then as we landed the plane, literally the wheels, I remember this, they hit the ground of Saigon and his face collapsed onto the iPad into like a deep sleep like this.
Oh my God, just as he landed.
Yes, just as we landed and I had no buggy. Right. Oh, I don't know why I had no buggy. I thought I'd know I was trying to travel light. I had nothing. So, which meant I had to carry him. He was like a 4-stone bag of spud weight. I had to carry him with all of the arts and crafts and things that I'd brought to entertain them for the fucking journey. Bags. I had bags. I had him 42 degrees of heat off the plane into 42 degrees. The bag of spuds over my shoulder, carrying the two bags and Gandhi beside me. Right. And we traipsed from the airplane a long, long, long walk. By the time we got out to see the husband, we looked like we had a walk from London to Saigon. We looked like we'd walked. And Steve was there, all smiles, thinking, well, how did the business class go?
Thank you for joining us on this, the first episode of our second season. And this episode was called I Got You an Upgrade.
This podcast is powered by the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.